welcome to pod 45 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grissom from Palace TV, which you can watch on the official Palace app, on YouTube, on eagles.cpfc.co.uk and on all the social media channels, which now includes TikTok. We've opened up a TikTok account for all you youngsters out there. So on this podcast, it's actually a transfer special. Some of you may be first-time listeners to the pod. If you are, then what it is it's a collection of some interviews that we've done for Palace TV. We have to edit things down to such short videos, but we like to put the full interviews out on here. We have other exclusives that are just for the pod. Sometimes we'll have a program interview that one of the journalists has recorded, or a website interview, and they'll give us the audio of that. And we also have Statman, who isn't on this week because I couldn't get across to him at Selhurst to do the chat about the stats ahead of the Arsenal game because we were so busy here with the new signing. The new signing is Cenk Tosun on loan from Everton. We had to do things a little bit differently this time. Usually we get the player first. It's not normally so close to a game. And we'll do the interview and photography while contracts are being signed. And they'll have everything to go as soon as the deal is done, basically, online. But this time, he was doing his medical late last night and then continuing with it this morning at the training ground. And then he went straight out onto the training field. You might have seen the video where he's still signing the contract as he was running out. Straight onto the training field. So we didn't get him for an interview until after Roy had done his press conference. So Roy had already talked about him in the press conference and we'd already done the announcement on social media, luckily with shots of him playing in training. So coming up is my chat with him, which I did in the boot room at the training ground because the interview room was packed full of journalists. So I chatted to him there, and then afterwards, we'll play Roy Hodgson's press conference, the full audio from that, and there's loads about Cenk in that as well. So I hope you enjoy. Cenk, welcome to Palace. How happy are you to be here in South London?
Very happy. I'm so excited to be at this great club. And as I said, I'm very excited to be on the pitch tomorrow and to show my skills.
And you've already had a training session. How did that go?
Yeah, I had a training session. Everybody was welcomed me so nice. And I can feel the team is like a family. Everything was so nice. The players, they took me in the team so hot and warm, and it's so nice to be here.
What has the manager said to you?
Yeah, that he wanted me since a couple months now, even in summer transfer period, and he thinks I can help the team, and I need to play, and I hope I will give my everything for this club and do the thing what I can do best, and that's scoring goals.
And you've obviously, you know, James McCarthy from Everton. Are there any other players that you know in the squad?
No, only James McCarthy. I've been watching Palace games since I'm playing football, and I know it's a great club and with a lot of good players. So the decision was not difficult for me to sign for this big club.
You must have had a lot of option. How important was it for you to stay in the Premier League?
It was my first option to stay in the Premier League. I had a lot of offers, but as I said, the manager, Dougie Friedman, the owner of the club, they have tried so much and give everything for me to play for this club, and it was just nice to see that they try so much for me. And as I said, it was not difficult the decision was not difficult for me.
You had a great start at Everton, but unfortunately you haven't played much recently. Do you feel like you've got unfinished business in this league?
Of course. The first couple months were really good for me. I scored a lot of goals and then I played less. I think I can play in this league and I can score in this league. So I'm not finished in this league, so yeah.
Now the Palace fans, they would have been excited 2 years ago at the prospect of signing you. And they obviously read things that you said when you stayed at Besiktas and then when you joined Everton. But that's just the kind of things that you're going to say when you stay at a club or you join a new team?
Yeah. If you play for one club, you have to say that you are glad what I was in this time. Actually, I joined the club today. I can see how big this club is, and I'm so happy to be here.
Unfortunately, you've scored against us, so we won't talk about that. But what do you know about, you said you've seen Palace play in your career. What do you know about the way that Palace play?
Yeah, I know that they have a strong front three, especially Wilfried Zaha is a great player. I love to watch him, especially for me as a striker. We need these kind of players. And then Crystal Palace is not a team who conceded a lot of goals. We are also good in the back and in the midfield. Just a bit of luck was not with us, I think, in the last 6 months. And I hope I can bring that back with scoring goals and just lift the team on the table.
And for those that don't know about your early days, you're a Turkish international, but you're born in Germany.
Yes. I born in Germany, grew up in Germany. When I was 18, I moved to Turkey, to Gaziantepspor, played 3.5 years there, and then moved to Beşiktaş, played three nice seasons there, played in the Champions League, scored a lot of goals, and that makes my dreams real to come to Premier League. And since 2018, January, I was playing for Everton with up and downs, but I'm so happy to be in the Premier League, and now I'm so happy to be in this big family here in Crystal Palace.
And back in Germany, when you played for the Germany under-16s and under-18s, you must have played with some great players. It was a good time for German football.
Yeah, I played with İlkay Gündoğan, who's playing for Man City. A lot of players who are playing now in big leagues and big teams. I've played from under 15 till under 21s in the German national team, and then for the seniors I went to the Turkish national team. Since then I'm playing now for the Turkish national team.
And what's it like playing in Turkey? Because their fans are crazy. I mean, we've already seen on social media, we're getting comments from Turkish fans already, so many of them. What's it like playing?
Yeah, they live football, they love football. It's the main sport in Turkey. As a known football player, on the streets, you are welcome everywhere. Sometimes you don't have to pay the bills because they love you. It's a bit different than here. Sometimes it's also worse because they forgot that football is just a sport. But Turkey is a country like, they love football and they live football. And it's nice always to be there and play for your national team. It makes you proud.
You mentioned the national team. We've got Euros coming up in the summer. So I guess this is a great opportunity for you to score some goals.
Of course, that was the main reason I left. I had less time to play in Everton. That's why I came here, to get some confidence, score some goals and help the team and be ready for the Euros.
Now, I must have heard about 50 different pronunciations of your name. Could you just say your name for us?
It's Cenk Tosun.
Cenk Tosun?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Everyone will forget that and they'll continue saying any different pronunciation. And just finally, you're the first Turkish player to play for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, there were not so many Turkish players who played in the Premier League. I remember Tugay, Emre, Tuncay, now Soyuncu is playing in Leicester. It's maybe a handful players who played in Turkey, and I hope it will be more players who are playing for Crystal Palace, Turkish players. I will be the first one.
Hi Roy.
Hello Paul.
Tosun loan deal is done. Can you just give us a little bit of an insight? What convinced you that he is the right man for this job?
Well, as long ago as 2 years ago now, when we were looking to improve our striking force, Cenk's name came up and was really quite heavily scouted by the club, and there was a serious interest in us signing him. But at the time we faced competition from Everton, and Everton won the race with signature. So it's nice now that to get a second bite at the cherry, as it were, a second opportunity, especially at a time when we are still desperately in need of improving our striking force. So we're very pleased to have him with us, because we feel we know him, we feel we know what he can do and what qualities he's going to bring. And to some extent, we feel that he could have been a part of our club a much earlier.
What are his qualities as a player?
Well, most importantly, well, he's a goal scorer. That's why he was signed. But he's a hard-working type of goal scorer as well. So he's not a player who is not interested in helping the team to work in the other areas of the game. But, of course, the reason we are signing him and hoping to see a lot from him will be in the area of scoring goals, because that's an area where we've been trying to improve for a long period of time now.
He's hit the ground running training today. What welcome has he had, and is he in contention to be in the squad for the weekend?
Yeah, he is in contention to be in the squad. I'm very grateful to Everton and Crystal Palace for getting that done so quickly to make him available, because we still have 8 players unavailable, and that's a lot of players not to be able to even consider. So it's great to have someone like him, which I think will boost everybody, not just the players and the people like myself and the coaching staff and the chairman who's put out a statement. It will also, I think, boost the fans, because they've been waiting for a long time to see some new faces at the club, and he was certainly very well received by the players in our very light training session today. And he's full of enthusiasm, because of course the last period of time he spent at Everton he hasn't seen so much game time, so he's really quite desperate to get onto the field, show what he can do, especially with the Euros coming up. As Turkey's top scorer, he feels that he needs to get some game time to make certain that he's going to be hitting the ground running also in the Euros this summer.
Is he ready to come in from the start, if required, if you need to need him from the start this weekend?
Yes, he is. I mean, he's been training all the time with Everton. He's injury free. He's, as I said before, very enthusiastic and very keen to play. So if I choose him tomorrow, then I don't have any doubts that he will be ready for the task.
Is it fair to say you're still after one more striker? And is there any update on how that's going?
No, I mean, things go one at a time. But like a lot of clubs, we do have vacancies, I think, in certain positions. We do have areas where we would like to improve, especially if we're going to have as good a second half to the season as we've had in the first half. So it's still all hands to the pump in terms of trying to find the right people. But of course, at this moment in time, we don't have the candidates that we necessarily would want, and we'll have to wait and see how the transfer window continues to transpire, because things are happening all the time, opportunities are coming all the time, as the opportunity with Cenk has just shown us.
What's the striker market like at the moment out there?
I think the striker market is always a very difficult one, isn't it? I think when I read what other managers are saying, when I listen to their interviews, we all seem to be singing very much off the same hymn sheet these days. You know, that we all think it would be nice to get an improvement to our squad, someone who's going to come in and help us become a better team, but finding that player at a price the club can afford, that's another matter altogether. And maybe more so in the January transfer window than the summer one, because it gives you very little time if you were to lose a player from your team, be it either here or abroad, you don't have so much time to find the replacement yourself.
The club have held talks with Tottenham over Kyle Walker-Peters. I just wondered how you rate your chances of getting him this window.
I know that the discussions are taking place and that Doug Friedman and Rebecca are working very hard on that aspect. I'm optimistic and hopeful that we'll be able to get Kyle here. But as I say, I don't have any update on the situation, but I'm not prepared to deny either that those discussions are taking place, and I remain very hopeful that we will be able to bring him in, because I think he's a very talented young player and I think we would benefit from his services.
Will that be a loan or a permanent?
Again, that's being discussed, I think, but in the first hand, I think when it was put forward to me, it was being discussed as a loan. I don't know that we've gone to a permanent.
Wilfred Zaha has changed his agent, Pini Zahavi. Mm-hmm. What's your interpretation of that change? Are you concerned in any way that that could be the first step towards a move?
I think I'm always concerned with Wilf because, you know, we have such a good player on our hands, and it's a player that we very much want to keep. And certainly, as a manager coach, you know, I value his services enormously. His agent and whoever he chooses agent isn't really of my concern, and I'm still very confident that Wilf Zahar will stay with us and help us to reach our goals. But I have to be realistic and accept that he has an agent who will, of course, be looking to move him on, because that's where the money will be for the agent.
Was there a Bayern Munich loan bid this month?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I've got to say, some of the stories that you write and pursue do surprise me. You know, everybody, I think, knows what an important player the Wolves are is to us and how desperate we are to keep him. How people can seriously consider that we would wish to loan him out to a German club is beyond my comprehension, but it doesn't seem to stop you wanting to pursue that line. But for me, that's if I was ever to read a story like that, I would dismiss it out of hand.
Has any club that come close to meeting that valuation?
Not that I'm aware of, none. But again, the bids sometimes will go through to Steve Parish or to Doug Freeman. They keep me informed, of course. But as far as I know, we've had no bids for Wilfried Zaha, and we do not welcome any bids for Wilfried Zaha, because we want Wilfried Zaha to stay with us and help us achieve our goal, which is a higher position in the Premier League.
And what's your feeling on it, Roy? Do you think he'll be a Palace player beyond this window?
No point in me speculating on that. I mean, the fact is, whatever I say there could be proven to be true or untrue. It's not something that interests me. As far as I'm concerned, he is a Crystal Palace player. He's under contract. We don't wish to sell him. And I'm not prepared to speculate on his future. But I hope, of course, he's going to be with us.
Mikel Arteta has had some nice things to say about you ahead of the game this weekend.
He always says nice things about each other.
He says he can learn absolutely everything from you. It's incredible how he deals with situations and living with this pressure. So talking about pressure specifically, what advice would you give Mikel Arteta?
No, I don't think that I don't think managers, especially talented people like Mikel, who've been in the game for such a long time, both as a top player and also now as a coach working at one of the top clubs in the country, the team that's been actually the top team in the country for the last couple of years. I don't think he needs advice from any other manager, whether it be an older one like myself or other younger ones. I'm sure he knows what he needs to do. I'm sure he's aware of the task that he has in front of him. And I'm pretty sure he understands and knows exactly how he wants to confront that task. So I can only wish him well in his career. I'm looking forward to meeting him tomorrow, both personally and as the opponent, if you like, the manager of our opponents. I could quite easily say nice things about him too. But it's always pleasant, of course, when a rival manager interviewed and being asked about me says some nice things. I'm always very grateful and would like to thank him for his courtesy.
In your analysis of Arsenal, what have you noticed change-wise from Unai Emery's Arsenal to Mikel Arteta's Arsenal?
I think they're playing very well at the moment, but I don't wish to make comparisons between Unai Emery's Arsenal and Mikel Arteta's Arsenal. That really is not my job. It's not within my aegis at all to do those type of things. But we're aware that Arsenal are in a good vein of form, that they seem to be buoyed at the moment by the situation with Mikel coming in, and we'll have to be ready for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Roy. James from Premier League Productions. Just a couple from me. Just back on Cenk Tosun. Do you expect this to be a move that more pads out the squad or directly affects the starting 11?
No, I'm not in the interest of padding out squads. You know, we are actually short of players in the central attacking area, so it's not a question of padding out the squad, it's a question of adding someone that we need to be there and who will provide the competition and who is more than capable of being the first name on the team sheet. So that's why he's been signed. None of the players that we sign in this transfer window will be there to pad out the squad. If I've got to pad out the squad, I'll do it with some of the 7 under-23 players who've been, you know, pressed into service in these last 2 or 3 weeks. Any player we bring in, I would want to be a serious contender for a first-team place.
And obviously it's a loan move until the end of the season. Is there any indication that, unless based on performances, that could become a permanent deal? Or
absolutely, why not? I mean, the fact is we are bringing him here to get the very best out of him and his performances. Everton obviously understand that he's got perhaps more chance here of getting into our team than they feel he has of getting into their team. There's the European Championships coming up. I'm pretty sure that they, like ourselves, will be hoping to see Cenk do very well here, because that will increase his value. And we will have to wait and see then, when that time comes, what the valuation is and if we can meet it.
Can I just ask what that might mean for Conor Wickham? Will he be staying at the club?
At the moment, absolutely, yes. I mean, the thing with Conor, I get asked the question every week. What Conor needs is a regular game of football. There's no question that. He needs to be playing somewhere where he not only trains every day coming up to the game, but actually then takes his place on the field. Mm-hmm. He knows that we can't guarantee him that here, because we also have Christian Benteke coming back from injury in a few weeks' time. So the club is aware of that situation, but as I've also said on many occasions, I've got no interest in pushing Conor Wickham out of the door, because Conor Wickham is a very useful man to have in a squad, able to come in and do the type of job he did against Norwich and the type of job he did for us on Sunday against Derby. But if the situation arises where he is really knocking our door down to be allowed to go out on loan, and the club was prepared to accept that situation, I wouldn't stand in Conor Wickham's way. So that's really where we are. So I'm very relaxed about the situation. As far as I'm concerned, what will be, it'll be a decision to be made at a point in time, but it's not a decision that concerns me at all.
And then last one from me, 3 points from fifth place going into the new year, above Arsenal going into the game. Does that sort of mirror your expectations or exceeding them at this stage?
Well, it would have exceeded expectations without the incredible injury list we've had to contend with, that's for sure. So I'm more than happy with our current situation, and I'd be more than happy to have a photograph of our place in the league and how close we are to the top teams. But the only relevance is really going to be what the table looks like in May, and we know we've got an awful lot of games, an awful lot of football to play before that day arrives, and it's always pleasant to be going into the next game in a comfortable sort of position, but I and the rest of the managers in this league, we all understand how quickly that can change. So it's the performance that counts, and we've got to make certain that the team that plays tomorrow is ready to give the type of performance that will be necessary. And if we really are a better team than Arsenal, as our table position might at this particular moment in time suggest, we better go out and prove that tomorrow by beating them.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Emma.
I suppose, all right. Roy, hello, sorry. With that in mind, I was going to say, is it kind of a waste of your time to be wondering what you might have been achieving with a fully fit squad?
Absolutely. And what's more, it would be very disrespectful to the players who've actually come in and done extremely well. I mean, there was a period of time in the beginning when we were not playing with James Tompkins and Mamadou Sakho, for example, two players who last season were very, very good for us, and Scott Dann and Martin Kelly were doing a fantastic job in their place. So I've got no reason to suggest that the player who's not playing at the moment would make us even stronger, because the guys who are out there are doing a good job. I learned long ago that, you know, if you want to keep your position as a star player, don't play too often, and then people can always look at the ones who do play and don't do too well and project your performance as being a wonder performance. The squad's done very well so far. It would be nice to get the injured players back. That would certainly increase our competition for places. It would certainly keep people very much on their toes, because they know if I don't do the job properly, both in training and in matches, I'm likely to lose my place. And the only thing I lament in the last few weeks is that we haven't really had that bench where I could turn around and give players a rest, or a player who might be carrying a knock wouldn't have had to play through the knock.
You've had a very good recent record against Arsenal. I'm just wondering if they're no longer the superpower, as it were, the scary team to play that they used to be? Or do you think that's...
They're a big club. Not only a big club traditionally, they're a big club in every respect. I have enormous respect for Arsenal, the way that they've conducted themselves through the years, you know, right back to the days of Stapleton and Brady. So I still think Arsenal are one of the mainstays of our Premier League, of our top division, of our elite. For many years they were number one or number two. They're finding it hard at this moment in time to get back and knock the current number one and two off their perch, but they're more than capable of doing it. And the quality of players that they have, the amount of money they've spent to improve their squad, the quality of the player that they've brought in to help them do that, makes me believe that they are still very much a top four team, or a top... We increase the top four now, don't we, by a couple, but certainly they're in that bracket, and I expect them to stay in that bracket.
I know you were asked about giving Mikel Arteta advice specifically, but as a manager who's been around for an awfully long time, is there one piece of advice you would give to a new manager?
Not really. I mean, I don't think there is, off the top of my head. I mean, first of all, if you sent me away for a week and gave me the task, and this is your task is now to think what you would say to a new manager and what advice you would give, I might be able to answer the question. But because I never think along those terms, I never think that it's my job or my prerogative or that I should be so arrogant as to think I should offer advice to people. The difference could sometimes be if you were in conversation with a young manager and he had questions to ask you about certain issues, maybe you would give him what your thoughts on the matter are. But I'm sorry, I can't just come up with some wonderful piece of information, unless of course I came out with something very clever and very flippant. That wonderful answer that Peter Crouch once gave, you know, what would you have been if you weren't a footballer? I mean, if I could come up with something wonderful like that, I would do so, but I'm afraid nothing comes into my head, and I'm obviously not quite as bright and witty as Peter.
nothing though, that you're thinking, if only I knew that when I was a young manager.
Oh, but that's all the time.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. I mean, the fact is, I'm pretty certain if I look back and saw myself in action in 1976 at Halmstad Ball Club and saw the way I was going about things and why I was conducting training, the things I was doing in the other managerial aspects of the job, I'm pretty certain I would not give myself particularly good marks, and I'd like to think I've improved since that time.
Thank you, Roy.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Just one for PA.
Roy, can I just check, Max and Gyro come off, didn't they, against Derby, and yeah. Wilf was missing. Will those three be available for the Arsenal game?
Yes. I mean, obviously, Wilf, as I said, played through the Norwich game with an injury, and the turnaround was too quick for us to put that right, but luckily he's recovered, and the same applies for Gyro and Max, who came off with Knox, really. You know, the kick that Max got on his ankle and the what Jai was feeling in his hamstring at the time turned out to be more or less fatigue and nothing else. So both trained yesterday and today, so they're available for the game.